During the past 20 years, Holocaust remembrance has come to play an important role in the cultural and political life of Europe, the United States, and other countries. The campaign to remember the Holocaust, often defined as the genocidal killing of 6 million Jews in Europe during the Second World War, includes numerous commemorative events, education courses in schools, and a stream of motion pictures, television specials, books, and magazine articles. A number of countries, including Britain, Germany, and Italy, officially observe a yearly Holocaust Remembrance Day. In November 2005, the United Nations General Assembly approved a resolution introduced by Israel to designate January 27 as an International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Across the United States, prominent political and civic leaders participate in annual Holocaust commemoration ceremonies. Every major American city has at least one Holocaust museum or memorial. Worldwide, there are more than 250 Holocaust museums and memorials, most of them in the U.S. and Europe. The largest is the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C., which is run by a taxpayer-funded federal government agency and draws some 2 million visitors yearly. The public is continually reminded of Jewish suffering during World War II. Between 1989 and 2003 alone, more than 170 films with Holocaust themes were made. In many American and European schools, and in all Israeli classrooms, a focus on the wartime suffering of Europe's Jews is obligatory. Yehuda Bauer, a prominent Holocaust specialist, who is a professor at Hebrew University in Israel, observed in 1992, quote, "Whether presented authentically or inauthentically, in accordance with the historical facts or in contradiction to them, with empathy and understanding or as monumental kitsch, the Holocaust has become a ruling symbol of our culture. Hardly a month passes without a new TV production, a new film, a number of new books of prose or poetry dealing with the subject, and the flood is increasing rather than abating," unquote. Tim Cole, a history professor and prominent specialist of Holocaust studies, writes in his book, Selling the Holocaust, quote, "From a relatively slow start, we have now come to the point where Jewish culture in particular, and Western culture more generally, are saturated with the Holocaust. Indeed, the Holocaust has saturated Western culture to such an extent that it appears not only center stage, but also lurks in the background. This can be seen in the remarkable number of contemporary movies which include the Holocaust as plot or subplot," unquote. How did the Holocaust come to play such a large role in contemporary culture, especially in the United States? A good part of the answer, writes Jewish scholar Peter Novick, is, quote, "the fact that Jews play an important and influential role in Hollywood, the television industry, and the newspaper, magazine, and book publishing worlds," unquote. Anyone who denies that this is a major factor behind what he calls the massive attention given to the Holocaust in the U.S. media, he adds, is being naive or disingenuous. What's behind the Holocaust Remembrance Campaign? Whose interests does it serve? It is, of course, fitting and proper to remember victims of genocide, war, and oppression. But Holocaust remembrance is not, as its supporters claim, a noble effort motivated by sincere concern for humanity. Instead, this relentless campaign is an expression of Jewish Zionist power and is designed to further Jewish Zionist interests. On the occasion of the opening of the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum on the Mall in Washington, D.C., noted Jewish author Melvin Jules Bukit called the museum a statement of raw power, quote-unquote. And he added, quote, It's not Jewish tragedy that's remembered on the Mall this week. It's Jewish power to which homage is paid, unquote. The Holocaust Remembrance Campaign encourages sympathy and support for Jews and Israel. It helps to justify America's massive and ongoing support for Israel and to excuse otherwise inexcusable policies of the Zionist state. Among Jews, it strengthens a feeling of group solidarity and promotes a sense of community purpose. Norman Finkelstein, a Jewish scholar who teaches at DePaul University in Chicago, writes in his best-selling book, The Holocaust Industry, that invoking the Holocaust is a ploy to delegitimize all criticism of Jews. He adds, quote, "By conferring total blamelessness on Jews, the Holocaust dogma immunizes Israel and American Jewry from legitimate censure. Organized American Jewry has exploited the Nazi Holocaust to deflect criticism of Israel's and its own morally indefensible policies," unquote. Paula Hyman, a professor of modern Jewish history at Yale University, has observed, quote, "With regard to Israel, the Holocaust may be used to forestall public criticism and suppress debate. It reinforces the sense of Jews as an eternally beleaguered people who can rely for their defense only upon themselves. The invocation of the suffering endured by the Jews under the Nazis often takes the place of rational argument and is expected to convince doubters of the legitimacy of current Israeli government policy," unquote. This view is echoed by another Jewish scholar, Tony Jutt, who is director of the Remark Institute at New York University. Quote, "The Shoah, the Hebrew term for Holocaust, is frequently exploited in America and Israel to deflect and forbid any criticism of Israel. Indeed, the Holocaust of Europe's Jews is nowadays exploited thrice over. It gives American Jews in particular a unique retrospective victim identity. It allows Israel to trump any other nation's sufferings and justify its own excesses with the claim that the Jewish catastrophe was unique and incomparable. And, in contradiction to the first two, it is adduced as an all-purpose metaphor for evil, anywhere, everywhere, and always, and taught to school children all over America and Europe without any reference to cause or context. This modern instrumentalization of the Holocaust for political advantage is ethically disreputable and politically imprudent," unquote. In Israel, says Tom Segev, a prominent Israeli journalist and author, the Holocaust has become an object of worship. Moreover, he writes, quote, "The heritage of the Holocaust, as it is taught in Israel's schools and fostered in national memorial ceremonies, often encourages insular chauvinism and a sense that the Nazi extermination of the Jews justifies any act that seems to contribute to Israel's security, including the oppression of the population in the territories occupied by Israel in the Six-Day War," unquote. Amira Haas, an award-winning Israeli journalist and author, is even more blunt. Writing in a leading Israeli daily paper, she says, quote, "Israel has turned the liquidation of Europe's Jews into an asset. Our murdered relatives are being enlisted to enable Israel to continue not giving a damn about international decisions against the occupation. The suffering our parents endured in the ghettos and concentration camps that filled Europe, the physical and mental anguish and torment that our parents were subjected to every single day since the liberation, are used as weapons to thwart any international criticism of the society we are creating here. This is a society with built-in discrimination on the basis of nationality, and the discrimination is spreading on either side of the green line. This is a society that is systematically continuing to banish the Palestinian nation from its land and usurp its rights as a nation and its chances for a humane future," unquote. The great lesson of the Holocaust, said Israel Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, is that Jews must, quote, always remain vigilant and trust no one but ourselves. Jews can rely only on themselves, unquote. Young Jews, he adds, quote, have the duty to bequeath the lesson, memories, and stories to underscore the importance of the existence of the Jewish state, unquote. Underscoring the importance of the Holocaust Remembrance Campaign for Zionist Interests is the fervently pro-Jewish agenda of the major remembrance organizations. The Simon Wiesenthal Center, for example, is both a leading remembrance institution and one of the world's most important Jewish Zionist associations. It reports a membership of more than 300,000 and an annual income of some $30 million. It runs the so-called Museum of Tolerance in Los Angeles, an imposing site of Holocaust remembrance that draws some 350,000 visitors yearly. Although it calls itself, quote, an international Jewish human rights organization dedicated to preserving the memory of the Holocaust, fostering tolerance and understanding, unquote, the center in reality functions as a propaganda agency dedicated to furthering Jewish Zionist interests. It has a long record as a staunch supporter of Israel, and its policies of oppression, aggression, dispossession, and institutionalized discrimination against non-Jews, and of reckless propagandizing for war by the United States in support of Israeli interests. In the United States and Western Europe, non-Jewish victims of genocide, oppression, and war do not merit the same consideration as do Jewish victims of the Holocaust. There are no comparable museums, memorials, or solemn ceremonies to commemorate, for example, the vastly greater number of victims of Soviet and Chinese communism. Americans and Europeans are trained and encouraged to know that 6 million Jews were murdered by the Nazis in World War II. But few people, even well-educated ones, have any idea of how many Russians, Japanese, Poles, Germans, or Chinese lost their lives in that global conflict. Estimates of the number of Chinese, for example, who lost their lives as direct and indirect victims of Japanese aggression and occupation during the 1930s and 40s range from about 10 million to more than twice that number. Supporting and bolstering the Holocaust Remembrance Campaign are so-called Holocaust denial laws in France, Germany, Austria, Belgium, Switzerland, and several other European countries, as well as in Israel, that make it a crime publicly to dispute the official version of Holocaust history. Among the many individuals who, over the years, have been fined, imprisoned, or forced into exile for daring to contest Holocaust claims have been Gaston Armand Armadruz and Jürgen Graf in Switzerland, Robert Forisson, Roger Garrity, Jean Plantin, and Georges Thiel in France, Günter Deckert, Hans Schmidt, and Frederick Tobin in Germany, Pedro Vieira in Spain, and Siegfried Verbeke in Belgium. Three men, David Irving, Ernst Zundel, and Germar Rudolph, are currently held behind bars in Austria and Germany for denial statements. These courageous individuals are the most prominent prisoners of conscience in Europe today. Holocaust denial statutes uphold a blatant double standard that criminalizes writings and statements that Jews regard as offensive, while permitting publications that offend Christians, Muslims, and others. These laws sanction a privileged status for Jews and Jewish Zionist concerns. They make a mockery of European pretensions of tolerance and support for freedom of speech and opinion. These denial laws stifle free and objective discussion of the Holocaust issue. On the basis of these statutes, many dozens of book titles have been banned, and thousands of books and other writings have been removed from libraries, confiscated from publishers, and destroyed. Europe's Holocaust denial laws did not appear spontaneously. They are the result of a well-organized campaign by powerful Jewish Zionist groups, including the World Jewish Congress and the Simon Wiesenthal Center, a campaign that has been supported by compliant non-Jewish politicians. In March 1982, the London-based Institute of Jewish Affairs, together with the World Jewish Congress, issued a report entitled Making the Denial of the Holocaust a Crime in Law, that laid out a detailed plan for Holocaust denial legislation in countries around the world. The report concluded, quote, "It is therefore essential to introduce special legal provisions against denial of the Holocaust," unquote. In June 1998, the International Association of Jewish Lawyers and Jurists declared that the denial statutes already on the books in some nations were too lenient and resolved for new and more severe denial laws in more countries. In the United States and Western Europe, the Holocaust story is portrayed reverentially and as a central event of world history. For many Jews, says Rabbi Michael Goldberg, a Jewish author and religious leader, the veneration of the Holocaust has become a new religion. He goes on to write, quote, "And as with any organized church, this Holocaust cult has its own tenets of faith, rites, and shrines," unquote. The Holocaust Remembrance Campaign reflects an arrogant view of Jews as a special and superior people. Abraham Foxman, head of the Anti-Defamation League, one of the most influential Zionist groups, has declared, quote, "The Holocaust is something different. It is a singular event. It is not simply one example of genocide, but a near successful attempt on the life of God's chosen children and thus on God himself. It is an event that is the antithesis of creation as recorded in the Bible, and like its direct opposite, which is relived weekly with the Sabbath and yearly with the Torah, it must be remembered from generation to generation," unquote. Jewish death and suffering do not deserve to be memorialized and venerated more than the death and suffering of non-Jews. The Holocaust Remembrance Campaign deserves not support, but scorn, because it is an insincere and one-sided effort that serves narrow Zionist interests and bolsters Jewish Zionist power. In spite of its impressive scope and influence, this campaign and its well-organized backers are not invincible. Exposing and countering the Holocaust Remembrance Campaign is a vital and urgent task for men and women of goodwill everywhere, not only in the interest of basic justice and equity, but for the sake of world peace and humanity.